Santa and Green Giant. I'm gonna think on that in the back of my head. Santa and Green. I'll just keep saying it to myself. Justify is the answer to making excuses to justify something, or what I said about graphics. Aline in Maine got that. So did Larry and Vanessa. So did Alan in Squirrel Hill. Russ and Sharon gave the clue thoroughbred rider, to which I give the answer jockey. They also gave the clue 12 angry men. A jury and surgical procedure by which a tube is situated in the lumen of the proximal jejunum, primarily to administer nutrition. Jejunostomy. That, Russ, that's your very own puzzle. Oh my goodness, lots of answers here that I'm missing. Mick knows justify, as do Russ and Sharon. Mick also got my clue of jaunty for the clue sprightly. Jim got that way too. A way to guard personal possessions, he just gave us a clue. A way to guard personal possessions. I'm going to have to work on that. Sarah and James got justify. Jolly, ugh, the jolly green giant. And Santa Claus is jolly. And sprightly could be jiffy or jumpy. Well done, Mick got jolly. How did I miss jolly? Alan got it, so did Aline and Jim. And amusement, we were looking for jocularity or joviality. Either of those work. What? A lot of fun that was. We'll have lots of Saturday Light Brigade puzzles and games next week, starting at 6, going right up until 10 o'clock. Stick around. Youth Express is coming up, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW, LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
I'm a long-haul trucker heading toward the sun. Driving through a ton of towns, it's a ton of fun. 'Cause there is Beaverton and Fullerton and Warrenton and Stockton and Arlington and Darrington and Riverton and Brockton and Lewiston and Hermiston and Germiston and Preston, Wilmington and Washington and Wellington and Weston, Livingston and Lexington and Galveston and Scranton, Edmonton and Evanston and Hamilton and Stanton, Farmington and Bloomington and Ironton and Trenton, Burlington and Carrollton and Bradenton and Denton. Boston, Kingston, Dayton, Houston, Benton, Renton, Milton, Charleston, Johnson, Ironton, Canton, Newton, Easton, Clinton, Brockton, Cranston, Clifton, Colton, Thornton, Layton, Princeton, Brighton, Berlin, Tolton, Dothan, Patton, Clayton, Stoughton, Kingston, Trenton, Bridgeton, Fulton, Barberton and Pemberton and Lumberton and Anniston and Hazleton and Royalton and Newington and Pleasanton and Covington and Irvington and last but not least, the Hamptons. Yes, I'm a long-haul trucker, I never get my fill, but when I drive for pleasure, I drive the Coupe de Ville. And go to Somerville and Porterville and Louisville and Starkville and Wilsonville and Bakerville and Bourbonville and Clarksville and Charlottesville and Dawsonville and Eddyville and Pikeville and Thomasville and Steubenville and Marysville and Whiteville, Victorville and Shepherdsville and Pflugerville and Knoxville, Ogdenville and Evansville and Fayetteville and Boxville, Louisville and McMinnville, Danvilleville, Mayville, Jacksonville and Hopkinsville, Jordanville and Bayville. Granville, Danville, Brownsville, Townville, Fort Hill, Huntsville, Paintsville, Roseville, Zanesville, Rushville, Greenville, Belleville, Reedsville, Snellville, Kewa, Colville, Hempston, Cokeville, Rockville, Janesville, Burnsville, Mayville, Newville, Johnville, Darville, Brayville, Sandville, Marysville, Pineville, Fawnville, Watersville and Slayersville, Naperville and Shelbyville, Hilderville and Pleasantville, Noblesville and Asheville, Nixonville and Whoville, best of all, Nashville. So that happened.
That's the group known as True North Duo. And a song called Motor Muff. I forgot they tacked on that applause at the end. Thank you for playing along. The answer to making sure nobody gets it, valuables, jealously guarded. That was Jim's answer to that, jealously guarded. And I think we mentioned all of the other answers. A way to guard possessions is jealously. Thank you for playing along with us. We're about to share with you, for our first Youth Express segment, a segment that we recorded on March 7th. We pre-recorded it because there were 40 plus musicians in the Youth Media Center from the 7th grade North Hills Orchestra. And it would be hard to get them ready and on time live. But this was live directly to our systems. Here it is. Well, it's been a number of years that we have had the pleasure of having musicians from North Hills School District with us here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And we are about school orchestra. We're going to let them play their first selection, and then we'll talk with one of today's conductors and a couple of students. Here now, the 7th grade section of the middle school orchestra at North Hills School District.
Thank you.
There you've got the North Hills Middle School 7th graders, and Perrin and Naomi are going to join us in front in just a moment, but I'm going to go to music teacher and conductor Allison Craig and ask you to tell us a bit about what we just heard.
This piece that we just played is called Viking by Soonhee Newbold. I think this has been a crowd favorite, and especially our cellos definitely like the song for having it sounding very strong and kind of nitty gritty, but I think they enjoy making that sound on their instruments.
I could really hear the vibrations in the room as they played here in our Youth Media Center. So let's meet each of you. Basic stuff. If you could tell me your name, how old you are, and if you have any shout outs.
I'm Perrin Geithner. I'm 12 years old, and I would like to shout out all my family members.
And what do you like about being in an orchestra?
I like playing the music. I like going everywhere, and I love having new friends and everything.
And are there other things you like to do?
I like to play sports like soccer and basketball.
Great. Well, it's nice to meet you. And we'll run through that same line of questioning to you, starting with an introduction.
My name's Naomi Sudo. I'm 13 years old, and I'd like to shout out to all my family members also.
And, you know, playing in an orchestra means a lot of different things to different people. What is it that you like about it?
I like that all the different instruments come together to make a piece of music sound great.
That's a good observation. When you hear one section practicing or one person, you kind of wonder, how is that all going to fit together? And then it suddenly does. Anything that you like to do in addition to playing music?
I also like to do sports, hang out with family, and definitely hang out with my cats.
What are your cats' names?
Joey, Rico, and Harvey.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being with us. Some 45 musicians here today, all seventh graders. It's remarkable to have an orchestra that big. But will this still be this big when high school orchestra comes together? Will the orchestra still be large, do you think?
I think so. I think we've been growing, and it's not a huge growth, but it over time, every year there's a few more students that take up an instrument. And the cool thing about this is that when we started, I think when we first did our first recording, and by the way, those sixth graders now, they are graduated, they were a small group. There was only like 30 of us at the time, and now there's 45. So, and that's in just our seventh grade. So that's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I recognize some of the students, too, that we had here from last year. So next up, it's called Irish Tune. Do you want to tell us anything about it?
Sure. This song is a very, I guess most people will know it as O Danny Boy. And it is a very popular song. The feel of it's totally different than our first song. Our first song was really strong and heavy. This song is a little bit lighter, and it's kind of more like a lullaby.
Once again, here are the seventh graders from North Hills Middle School, the seventh grade North Hills Middle School Orchestra.
Thank you. There you have seventh graders from the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. Wyatt and Grace, come on up as we get ready for the next song, and we'll talk to each of you. Our first two musicians, by the way, Perrin and Naomi, both violinists. I should have mentioned that as their instruments. We have a cellist, and I didn't see your instrument.
Violin.
Violin as well. You probably picked up for last time, if you just could introduce yourself, name, age, and any shout-outs.
My name is Y Fairley. I am 12 years old, and I would like to give a shout-out to my friends and family for coming to almost every single one of my orchestra concerts. Yeah.
Well, that's good. If you think of somebody else, let me know. What is it about being in an orchestra that you find meaningful and enjoyable?
I find the people in orchestra very enjoyable. A lot of different personalities in the orchestra. And I also really just like playing the violin.
It's a great way to make friends as you come out of elementary school to suddenly meet new people. What else do you like to do? Anything beyond music? I'm sure there's something.
I also do track, baseball, and basketball.
There's more than something. There's a lot. Well, thanks, Wyatt. Good to meet you. And let's meet you. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Gracie Alder. I'm 13 years old, and I play the cello.
And what does being in an orchestra mean to you?
I think the community and all the people are really special, and I've learned a lot of skills that I don't think I would have learned as easily without being in the orchestra.
What kind of skills?
I've learned to be really patient with myself and just sort of like understanding other people, I feel like.
I'm glad you added that observation. Any shout outs?
I'd like to shout out my sister and my cello instructor.
What is your sister's name?
Alex Alder.
And finally, what else do you like to do beyond music?
I really enjoy musical theater, and I love to read.
Wonderful. Nice to meet you. We'll let you get at your cello while I say hello to Nicholas Vranicevic. We've known each other so long, I don't have to say Mr. V. I can actually say Mr. Vranicevic. Yeah. It's nice to see you again. What are you about to do?
We're going to play the theme from Jurassic Park by the great John Williams.
This is going to be a wonderful song to listen to, a great selection. It looks like everybody is in the ready position. So once again, these are all seventh graders, about 45 of them, the North Hills Middle School Orchestra.
Thank you.
There you've got Jurassic Park by the great John Williams. Mackenzie and Otis are going to join us in a moment, and then you'll hear one final selection from the seventh graders at North Hills Middle School. And it looks like we're going to start with Otis. I'll let you please introduce yourself, and any shout outs you would like to make can be made right now.
My name is Otis Idickson. I'm 12 years old. I play the cello, and my shout outs are my family and everybody, every one of my friends in orchestra.
And what does playing in an orchestra mean to you, or what do you like about it?
The opportunities that are presented to me, because like all of these amazing people that I get to meet, all of the trips I get to take, it's just great.
What instrument do you play?
I play the cello.
And what else do you like to do?
I like to play sports. I play deck hockey, and I like to hang out with my brother and my dog.
And we should name them. I'll let you choose who to name first, your brother or your dog.
My brother's name is Hank, and my dog's name is Biscuit.
Wonderful. You could have given me those names, and I could guess which one was which. And I've never met anybody with a brother named Biscuit, but it might have been fun. Thanks, Otis. Hey, Mackenzie.
Hello, my name is Mackenzie Cyrus. I'm 13 years old, and I play the cello. And I would like to give a shout out to my wonderful teachers, Miss Craig and Mr. V, and my incredible team of cellos, and my little brother Adam.
Nice to hear you do that. Tell me about what it means to you to be in an orchestra or in the cello section, just to be part of a group.
It's really amazing because you find people with a lot of common interests and people that you can get along with very easily. There are a ton of different yet amazing personalities that make up an orchestra, and I'm so incredibly honored to call these people my friends.
What else do you like to do?
I do musical theater. That's pretty much it, actually.
Well, that's good. I'll ask you another question. Is it just me, or did we suddenly grow two basses here?
Yes. With our next song, our basses have transitioned to electric basses. So it'll feel a lot more power in the next song. And it kind of transitions from orchestral to rock and roll.
Thank you, Mackenzie. I thought I was maybe missing, maybe I missed them before. I know there's also Heidi Coney is involved too, as a music teacher who's here. We'll just say I want to acknowledge her by name, if not actually speak with her. So, Mr. V, what are we about to hear?
We're going to play Clocks by Coldplay. And we do have two soloists, actually. We have Riley's going to play the violin solo at the beginning, and Reagan is going to play the cello solo towards the end. And like Mackenzie said, we're going to play some rock and roll music, some popular music, and a lot of times in the orchestra, people think that all we do is play classical music, but really, we can play all types of music.
Absolutely. It's my last chance to talk to all of you directly for today, so I want to thank you for coming. We have 45 musicians, each with an instrument, each in black and red for North Hills today, and it's made quite an effort for them to be here and to be part of things to play for you, so I thank them. I thank Ms. Allison Craig, Ms. Heidi Coney, just mentioned a moment ago, and Mr. Nicholas Franisevic. Here they are, the North Hills Orchestra, seventh graders with Clocks by Coldplay.
Thank you.
There you have the 7th graders who are part of the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. Thank you to Allison Craig and Nicholas Franisevic, who coordinated that segment. And as I mentioned at its beginning, they were here on March 7th of this year. And because of their size and the amount of time it takes to get them set up, they were recorded live to tape, as they say. You heard them unedited just as they were, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you happen to be one of those students, I hope you heard yourself on the radio or your family member on the radio. Coming up, we have live some original writing from a couple of teens. And then Sadie Friend is going to be here with us in our 11 o'clock hour, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions in Pittsburgh. Harrison's Give Me Love done there by the Satchel Ensemble. As we started this half of this hour of the Saturday Light Brigade, thanks for being with us. A couple items to let you know about. Our solar concert series is going to begin this Thursday and will continue every Thursday until we reach the end of August. And 12:15 is when the shows start. And Thursday, July 10th, the Snap and Bug String Band will perform. The shows alternate. They are at Buell Community Park, which is just upstairs and outside of the main entrance to Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. And then that's where this coming Thursdays will be. On the other days, they're adjacent to Nova Place. They're really practically in the identical spot. It's just some weeks they're a little closer to Nova Place. Some weeks they're a little bit closer to us. We're proud to present the Solar Concert Series in collaboration with Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Nova Place.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Thanks for being with us. I know holiday weekends can be kind of strange. Maybe your routines are off a little bit. Maybe this holiday is just a little bit different for you. Whatever the case may be, I'm glad we can be a constant in your life. And I am really glad we have Kai Galliard with us today. Good morning. How are you, Kai? Oh, wait, hang on. Let me get the right mic on. There you are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me a bit about yourself. How old are you? Where do you go to school?
So I go to school at Fox Chapel. I will be going into ninth grade, so I'm 14.
Excellent. Before I forget, any shout-outs to teachers, friends, family members, or thank yous?
Thank you to my dad for driving me here.
That's a good thank you. What do you like to do? I know you like to write. That's one of the reasons you're here. But what kinds of things are you into besides writing?
I like to draw, too. I'm also on my school's crew team, which I think it's fun.
That's amazing. It takes a lot of strength and discipline to do that. Is a crew team member... I don't even know when the season is, and I'm curious also what you do. I mean, do you have to go out and row daily?
So I don't row daily. Usually the season is like summer through fall. But then in winter, you're usually just rowing like indoors on erg machines. And then you can go out in the spring. But the water is more choppy.
I would imagine. So on a team, how many people are rowing? I used to know these things. There's like, is it the coxswain in the back? There's one person that's giving the commands.
Yeah, the coxswain.
Okay, the coxswain. And then how many people are actually rowing?
So there's different sizes of boats, right? I mean, there's eights, which are, like, pretty standard sweeping boats. But then you can also have quads and doubles, also singles, and those are all usually sculling, so you have two oars.
That's it's fascinating to me. Are there boys teams and girls teams, or are they mixed?
So they have to be separated for competition, but usually we practice together, yeah.
That's great. And I know you didn't come here specifically to talk about that, but I haven't met anybody that does that. I like canoeing a lot. I've never been part of a scull type of team, and that just, I just can't imagine the discipline that takes. Clearly, you like to write, and I know this is a piece that you submitted to the Scholastic Arts and Writing Awards program under flash fiction. How would you explain flash fiction to folks to help them understand the constraints it gives you?
So for the Scholastic thing, it can't be more than 1,000 words. Like, that is the cap. You cannot submit it if it is 1,000 words or more. So, I mean, it's a little bit hard to kind of, like, make an entire story that fits within those constraints. Like, pacing is a little goofy sometimes.
Yeah, it's very short is a lot harder than long to constrain yourself. Did you find, do you remember your first draft and whether it was like double the required length, or did you have a sense of?
I think my first draft was only like maybe 40 words or so over, and I don't think it actually changed that much from the finished version, but it was a little bit just, oh, I have to delete that word, oh, I have to delete that
That's
word.
That's phenomenal. Have you done flash fiction before?
Not really.
That's amazing that you were that close, and sometimes you get a good sense of that. I often have to write things where there's a word limit, and usually I'm okay, but every now and then it's like I'm 200 words over and I have no idea what to do, and then you suddenly discover I don't need to say this, I don't need to say this. So I think it makes you a better writer to do that. Do you write a lot?
Yeah, I do.
And what kind of genres do you, if you have any favorites to write?
I write like a good amount of historical fiction, kind of focused around World War II, I guess.
What got you interested in that?
My friends are really into war media, so I don't know. I just find it really interesting to write about, I guess.
So war media would be actual newsreel footage? Or tell me what war media is.
I don't know, like Band of Brothers, the Pacific, Saving Private Ryan, I guess.
So, historical fiction in mm-hmm. movies shown that way. Interesting. Well, you have a piece to share that you brought. Tell us a little bit about it.
So this is something I wrote for a school project that I submitted. It's a horror story. Do I need more about it?
Your writing can speak on its own to the degree it can, but this was the flash fiction piece. It's 1,000 words or less. And does it have a title?
Things That Writhe.
Things That Writhe. Okay, I can't wait to hear it. Here's Kai Galliard.
They watched her. Through every crack and around every corner, those things watched her. Things that creep and things that squish and things that writhe. Slithering around in the comfort of red brick and white mortar, a million hungry eyes gazed upon her wretched soul. Rue wasn't aware of when they started to watch her, but they hadn't always done so. She could nearly remember a time before the wriggling smiles and screeching whispers. There, beyond the edges of her memory, hung a faint, sweet song of days before fear. It was blocked out by the horrible taste of cloying decay, leaving her to grasp at those honeyed wisps of a far-off lullaby. From the time she was a child, she knew that the kids around her couldn't hear or see or feel them. They called her crazy. They didn't understand. They couldn't feel the way Rue's skull buzzed with that maddening wail. They couldn't see the squirming masses burrowing up from the seams between the harsh linoleum tiles. She remembered asking her father about the shadows. He told her to stop making up stories. He told her to go back to the library and find a nice, clean book to read. Those were where stories lived, not in cracks or holes or chasms, but in crisp, white pages. Growing up, Rue tried to ignore the eyes, and she mostly succeeded, although people always thought she was a little strange with the way her gaze drifted to the corners of rooms. She was always moving, too, either pacing or tugging at her hair or pulling at the seams of her clothing. When she became an adult, things got worse. The presences got larger, more bold. No longer did they stalk her from the crevices of the outside world, but they wormed their way into her home. They were there, watching as she lived her little life and waiting to rot it, like the meat in her fridge or the plants in her garden. Even her family was something they couldn't seem to stay away from. They drew them away from her, making her mother distant and her father angry. They didn't call anymore. She briefly wondered if it was something she did wrong, but that was impossible. It had always been those things, not her. They didn't just watch her anymore, though. They touched her, too, not in the way that people touch one another, but in an otherworldly sense, a feeling that she was not the same. The things creeped up from the crack between her bed and the wall, from the seams in her sweaters, and from the vents that blew the saccharine, sweet scent of decay upon her while she slept. And they touched her. She knew this clear as day, for what else could turn her fingers black and pockmarked? What other than those many-eyed, squirming creatures can make the open sores in her hands drip with sticky fluid? Truly, what could make her mouth turn into a mess of sores other than that incessant whisper? At some point, she started to scratch. That crawling feeling that she'd carried with her all through her life, she'd begun to try and rid herself of it. Her head pounded with the need to get it off. Maybe if she peeled back enough, there would be her hand untouched by rot. If she dug far enough under the surface, she would find that time before the eyes. So Rue scratched, and she dug, and she squeezed, and she peeled. Whatever she could do to get that ghostly touch off her, she tried. She took hot baths, but by the end, the water always turned a sickly yellow. She wrapped herself in bandages, but they were always dripping red by the end of the day. She was in a fit of scratching when it came to her. Suddenly, that distant memory that had haunted her all her life crashed down upon her mind, and it forced her to see her madness that she so desperately denied. She remembered hiding from her brother while they played hide-and-seek. She was in a closet, and there weren't any eyes or legs or wet, slithering forms, just a dusty old closet. She watched from a crack as her brother searched for her. He looked under beds and behind bookshelves, but still she evaded him, tucked away in that corner of the laundry room she hid. Eventually, he got so fed up that he started trying to scare her. He didn't yell. He didn't need to. He just had to whisper. With his eye pressed to the crack, 1,000 more pupils sprouted from the shadows, embodiments of that twisting tail he spun. His voice burrowed into her skull. It stuck its writhing cadence into Rue's ears and didn't let go. For all her life, that reminder of the things that live in the shadows hissed to her. It told her all about the many-legged things scurrying around beneath her feet. It told her about the spirals of pulp and paper winding through the cracks in her mind. It told her about the eyes of her watching. When one blinked, there were 10,000 more, all fixated upon her every move, waiting for something, except that something would never come because it wasn't real. It was never real. It was just a story that her brother told her to make her burst from that closet. The creatures were nothing more than an idea planted in her mind. But she had still scratched. In that horrible moment where this realization came down upon her, Rue's hands were raking along her shins, and what was once horrible necrosis skin was now simply skin. Her hands and feet had terrible gashes along them from where her fingernails dug, but it was still no more than skin. There were no creatures, nor eyes, nor presences, just the lonely feeling of her hands scratching along her forearms.
Ooh, what a world you created. There are things that rise. Have you... It seems like other stories could be in that same context. Have you thought of doing that, or is this one particular person undergoing what you described?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about a world attached to this. It's kind of just this girl's kind of having time.
Yeah, the descriptions are so incredibly vivid. How did you learn to do that? Can you explain how you learned to create vivid descriptions?
I don't know if I ever really learned so much as it was always just there, I guess. Like, I always kind of, like, even in my head, just describing things that are in front of me. I mean, how do you do it, right?
Yeah, well, some people, I think it comes naturally. And I was just curious, when are you able to get feedback on what you've written from a teacher or a friend? And do you typically do that? Or do you mostly look at it yourself and do revisions based on what you think?
I mean, it goes through my eyes first, right? But I also, when I was in school, I liked to send my writing to my literacy teacher, Mr. Shaw. He's very cool. But my grandma is also a writer, so occasionally I'll send things to her.
That's helpful to do. And Mr. Shaw, did you say? We should mention him as a literacy coach. Have you thought about... You mentioned you like drawing, too. Have you thought about doing a graphic novel or illustrating anything you've written?
I thought about it, but I think I would get frustrated with that much more quickly than I would with just writing.
I can understand why it's almost like too many constraints if you've got the graphic constraint and the other constraints you put on yourself writing. What do you think is next for you writing-wise?
I mean, right now I have, like, pretty good, like, scenes and also poems, but I want to work on kind of, like, connecting them into a larger narrative.
And would it be probably in the military fiction or the historic fiction that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. I could see a lot. Do you know the period of time you would look at?
Yeah. I mean, World War II, right? But also a fair bit of stuff post-war, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. This is Kai Gagliardi. I'm so glad that you were able to be here this morning. You are able to be here. Is there anything else about your writing that you'd like to mention that I didn't give you space to talk about?
I mean, I don't know. I like writing poetry.
Excellent. I'm curious, have you thought about what you might like to do after you get out of school? I know you've got a few years left.
Yeah, I thought about a couple colleges, maybe. I know CMU has that entertainment technology program that seems really interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thought. They have an excellent program. The other thing I was curious about is why you think it's important to write. At least for you, and maybe for other people too.
I mean, I guess it's just the only thing. Like, sometimes it's really hard for me to express myself using speech, but that kind of just goes away when you're writing, and you can just focus on what you need to say.
Yeah, it can make you a better singer too, I guess, when it, or not singer, a better speaker is what I meant to say, is you write, it can actually make you, as you get your thoughts together, it can make you more articulate, is what I was thinking. Well, I really enjoyed having you here, Kai, and wish you the best of success. Congratulations on the Scholastic Arts and Writing Awards placement. And thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And I was thinking about singing, which is why I said singing a moment ago, because there's a song we're about to play for you all about the Julia Bell Swain.
This is a song about the Julia Bell Swain. Swain is a mighty fine boat, got a mighty fine captain too. Got a big red wheel that goes around and around, and a bunch of old hippies for a crew. Well, I can't stay here, well, I gotta get away. I'm Chattanooga, Tennessee bound. I'm gonna get my banjo and put it on my back when the Julia Bell comes down. When the Julia Bell comes down. When the Julia Bell comes to Peoria, you know that summer's here. And up on the Illinois River, that's the very best time of the year. Those steamboat days in August, like a hazy, lazy dream. I want to be at the foot of Main Street when the Julia Bell raises steam. When the Julia Bell raises steam. Well, Dennison, Moon, and Bob Burnett, and Doc, and Lori, too. All one big steamboat family, the Julia Bell steamboat crew. Me, I tell you, we gotta get away. I'm Chattanooga, Tennessee bound. I'm gonna get my banjo and put it on my back when the Julia Bell comes down. When the Julia Bell comes down. Bell Swain is a women's lib boat, the first I ever knew. We got girls in the pilot house and girls on deck and lady in the engine room. Now Donna, she's got her license, and Cindy's learning to steer. And little Julie keeps Moon out of trouble by wandering off everywhere, by wandering off everywhere. When the Julia Bell gets in a steamboat race, she's a mighty hard boat to beat. She raced the Belle of Louisville and she beat the Delta Queen. She don't need no help to get her turned around, she'll come right around on a dime. And after the race she heads up the river, cause the Julia Bell still got time. Cause the Julia Bell still got time. I sure do love the Tennessee River, the Ohio, and the Illinois. And I love the old Mississippi River. It's a good old place for a boy. Just to step on board a steamboat, ride all the way to the sea. Where else but a muddy old river would a person want to be? Would a person want to be? Up the river the other night, darker than the inside of a cow. Ain't nothing like a crooked old river, straighten my head right out. Now love my love, she's pretty as can be, and love to take her down. Cause pretty ladies really like to ride when the Julia Bell comes down. When the Julia Bell comes down.
There he goes. He'll start doing it himself. He did. That's John Hartford. Nice to hear a song like that on a day like today. You're listening. Well, I'm about to tell you, aren't I? If I just say broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain